It's good to be in the Lord's house this evening. I invite you to take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to Luke 24. Luke chapter number 24. Luke 24. We want to begin reading at verse 13. Hear the word of the Lord. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these, that ye have one with another, as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. We trust the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own holy, inerrant, and infallible word. Let's unite our hearts together for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we call upon you again this evening because we are again mindful of our need of you. And God, as we come to the preaching of the word of God, God, this great act of worship, God, we recognize how we need your help. God, I stand in need of your help today. I pray, O God, that thou wouldst hide me behind the cross of Calvary and that, God, none would be seen save Jesus only. That he would be exalted and extolled and be given his proper position. God, I pray that my preaching and my teaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that this church's faith would not stand in the wisdom of a man, but in the power of God. God, I pray that you would give that unction, that anointing of the Spirit that does not make preaching easy, but makes it effective, Lord, ministering to the hearts of the people of the Lord. And God, we pray, God, that you would receive all honor, praise, and glory once again. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It is here in our text that we encounter two disciples headed into the sunset. They have left Jerusalem and they are headed west toward the little village of Emmaus. You can see it in the background. The sun is beginning to sink in the western sky. And this sinking of the sun in the sky is reflected by the sinking of the soul. And these travelers, as they are leaving Jerusalem towards Emmaus. The light is not only going out in the day, but it is going out in their hearts. Disappointed and deeply disillusioned, they are headed back to their home in Emmaus. Where was the kingdom of the Messiah? How come Jesus had to die? We do not encounter here two mighty apostles, but we are encountering two ordinary disciples of Christ. They are just simple villagers on their way to Emmaus. These two, our Savior, would give a great deal of his time from the afternoon all the way into the evening. Here our Savior has a great interest today in this evening. And those that are discouraged, those that are disappointed, those that are discouraged in their hearts and minds, and the Lord would join them in their journey. But according to Mark, he would appear to them in another form. Jesus then would ask questions to them that were met with astonishment. And upon hearing the sorrow of these two, the Savior would, in the 7-mile journey, conduct the greatest small group Bible study that had ever been conducted in human history. He expounded unto them all the things in the Scriptures concerning himself. And as the three of them approached the house of Emmaus, they constrained Jesus. They say, Master, this man, you must come in with us and you must eat with us. And he prepares for them a meal and Jesus sits down with them to eat. And as our Lord sits down to eat, he offers thanks over the food. And he takes the bread and he breaks it and he dispenses it to their disciples. The Bible says that their eyes were open and they knew that it was him. And then as soon as they recognized him, he vanished out of their sight. They were so stirred with holy heartburn that they went back to Jerusalem to be with the other disciples. They had seen the risen Christ. And today, you might be like those disciples. You might be like those disciples that were leaving Jerusalem on the way to Emmaus. You might have come here tonight and you're discouraged. You might have come here tonight and you're disappointed. Things in your life have not fallen out as you expected them to be. Your marriage might have not fallen out the way you've expected it to be. Your children might not be acting the way you want them to be. And you've come here with a heart full of sorrow and grief. And you're like those on the way to Emmaus. You're disappointed. What happened? Why isn't things happening like the way I wanted them to happen? And you decided just to pack up your bags and go home, as it were. You feel Christ has no interest in you tonight. Pastor, I'm here, but I'm just here because I need to be here. And you really feel deep down inside that there is no interest that the Savior has in you this evening. You may say, I'm no mighty Christian. I'm not some great saint. I'm no mighty preacher of the gospel. Christ is certainly not interested in ordinary people. Friend, can I point out to you in our scripture that the people that we read about, these two that were walking on the Emmaus Road, they were not the apostles. They were just some ordinary disciples that Jesus chose to come alongside of on his way to Emmaus. Jesus is interested in ordinary people. And that's who you and I are tonight. We're ordinary people. And this means Jesus is very interested in what you are going through in your life this evening. He desires to come to the ones whose hands hang down and whose hearts are weary. He desires to come to the broken in heart and bind up their wounds. He desires to come to the disappointed and disenchanted and remind them of the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans 10:11, that whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. That is, they will not be disappointed. So is this where you are today? Are you discouraged, disappointed, disillusioned with life? This is where you find yourself. I want to bring you the message this evening. Finding hope on the road of disappointment. Finding hope on the road of disappointment. And I want you to note with me, first of all, the disciples' condition on the road of disappointment. I want you to notice, first of all, that they had sad hearts. Look with me in verse 17. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as you walk and you are sad? Why are they sad? Their Lord had just been crucified. He was buried in a tomb. He was gone. Some of the apostles said, I go a fishing. And they were disappointed. And they had heard that he was risen, but they had not seen him. These were people that were of a sad heart. And the word sad here means of a sad countenance. And as Jesus is with them, as he comes alongside where they are, he quickly detects their sadness. Their grief could not be hidden. It was written all over their faces. The disappointment of what they thought was supposed to happen turned to a great grief. They thought, this is not the way things are supposed to be. Our Savior is supposed to be alive, but he is not. They are full of gloom and mourning. And this is where you might be even this moment. You're like these disciples. You're of a sad heart. And this is your condition tonight. You find yourself in a sad condition. You're discouraged where you are. In disappointment on the life, on the road that God has you on. Has the sadness become so great that it consumes your life just as these disciples? I don't know about you, but I have been around people that are just so consumed by grief. Consumed about the present circumstances that they cannot see beyond it. And it weighs down their life. It's written across their face. They can't even hide the grief. The sorrow, the pain in their heart. Heaviness in the heart has caused them to be weighed down. You have found that this sorrow of heart has crushed your spirit and it has dried your bones. But the scripture says, but a wounded spirit who can bear? Or who can survive a broken spirit? Do you feel that if you were to continue in that current state that you are in, that it would just kill you? There are people that have actually died from broken hearts, so consumed by anguish and grief, so brokenhearted. And this is where these disciples are. It's written all over them. You say, how can I find help tonight? Christ alone is the one who can mend the sad spirit. He says in Psalm 30:11, thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. So here these disciples are. They have sad hearts. The second thing I want you to notice about their condition on the road to Emmaus is that they had shattered hopes. Look with me in verse 21. But we had trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. We trusted, you could translate that word trusted. We were hoping. We were continually in the past, hoping into the present that this was the one that was going to usher in the kingdom. He was going to overthrow the Roman Empire. We thought that this was the one that was going to bash the nations with a rod of iron. But he did not come as we expected him to come. We had hoped. We trusted that it should have been him, but now he's dead. And they say that he's alive, but we've not seen him. It appears that their hopes were eclipsed by the death of one that they had fixed their trust on. No doubt thoughts were racing through their mind. They begin to think, was this Jesus that we had trusted an imposter? Could it be that we were deceived by one who thought he was the Messiah? So many thoughts racing through their heads and so many disappointments. Like these two disciples, our lives too are met with many disappointments. Many shattered hopes and shattered dreams. Many people are disappointed in their marriages. It's not the way that I thought it was going to be. They're disappointed with unfulfilled promises in others. They're disappointed with the politics of the day. They're disappointed with the direction of their church. They're disappointed with their children. Life is filled with shattered hopes. Days of darkness. Grief. Maybe you have married what you thought would be a great spouse, only for it to end in disaster. You have raised your children for the Lord, only to see them spurn the God you have loved. You have prayed fervently for your church, only to see it to go the direction of the world. It is Christ alone that can heal the shattered hopes of his people. The one who has begotten you unto a living hope can keep that hope a reality in your life. Paul said in Romans 15:13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. It's not God's desire that you wallow in hopelessness, but it is rather God's desire that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. This is his desire. This is the condition of these disciples. They have sad hearts. They have shattered hopes. But now consider with me, thirdly, they had blurred vision. In verse 16, they have blurred vision. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. The word holden carries the idea of being restrained, that they could not know or recognize him. The question might be asked, why could they not recognize him? They had spent countless hours with him. They were 3.5 years with him. How could they not recognize this one whom they've walked with? This one whom they prayed with? The one that they saw cast out demons, raise the dead, heal the sick? How could they not recognize this one that they saw walking upon the water? How could they not recognize him? The Bible says their eyes are holden. Some feel that this was something that God did, that he caused this to happen. Others feel that because of their own unbelief, they could not believe that this was the Christ. I think that there's a happy medium. It was both God and their unbelief that hindered them from understanding who this man really was. There is a human element of unbelief and doubt, and there is a divine element, Christ appearing in another form. And how many times we too have allowed disappointments to blur our vision. Many times people are so engulfed in their struggle, in their discouragement, they cannot even see the Lord right in front of them. The Lord is working in their life, but they are so engulfed by what God is doing at the present moment that they cannot see God's hand right in front of them. The Lord was standing in front of these disciples, but they did not know it was him. How many times have we been there in our own life? When we are so blinded by circumstances, by problems, by financial problems, marital problems, whatever it might be, that we can't even see the God of heaven right before us. People are so engulfed in the disappointment of a spouse, a child, or a friend, that when God is at work, they do not even see it. Many times God's people are like the blind man who said, I see men simply as trees walking. Discouragement and disappointment have a way of blurring our vision and keeping us from seeing clearly. It is only by looking to Christ that the beam of disappointment and discouragement can be removed from the eyes that we may see clearly. Fourthly, I want you to notice about their condition that they had anxious thoughts. In verse 17, notice with me. He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one with another as ye walk and are sad? You notice that little phrase ye have, it carries the idea of exchanging with. It means to throw in turn or to exchange. And what we find the two disciples doing here was throwing words back and forth with each other, trying to make sense of what had happened regarding Jesus. In their anxiety, they were engaging in circular arguments with each other. The same things being rehashed again and again and tossed back and forth. They were locked into a certain state of mind that they could not escape out of. They were so discouraged and disappointed that they just continued to go over the same things again and again and again. And you and I that have been in a very low place in our life, we know what that's like. To not be able to look beyond the current grief, the current problem, and to not be able to look beyond it. And this is where they were. They were rehashing the same things again and again and again. They were overwhelmed by disappointment and discouragement and just continued to engage in these anxious thoughts. And many times you might find yourself doing the same, throwing the same words back and forth with one another, and you seem to make no progress in your disappointment. You continue in this exchange of words only to find that you're going deeper and deeper and deeper into this downward spiral of discouragement until you hit rock bottom where you feel that there is no hope. So what do we need? We need to be roused from our downward spiral of this discouragement and unbelief and disappointment. And it is only Christ, I want you to understand, it is only Christ that can cause the sinking soul to sing again. It is only Christ that can be the glory in the lifter up of your head this evening. It is only Christ that can put the new song in your heart, even praise unto our God. It is only Christ that can cause you to rejoice again. And again I say, rejoice. I want you to notice what Christ does in this passage as he comes to minister to these broken disciples on their way to Emmaus. We have considered the disciples' condition. I want you to now consider, secondly, with me, the disciples' communion with Christ on the road of disappointment. These two disciples left Jerusalem discouraged, disillusioned, disappointed that Christ had not fulfilled his promise, so they thought. But I want you to notice, Christ came after them. He pursued them. Just as Christ went after them in their disappointed, disillusioned condition, you right now that find yourself in the pit of slow of despond, Jesus Christ is seeking you out tonight. Jesus is looking to come to where you are. He is looking to come alongside you and comfort you in your need tonight. He is a friend to the broken, and he will come and he will pick you up and he will carry you and mend your wounds. I want you to notice first about these disciples' communion with Christ. First, that he became a companion on their way. Look with me in verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus himself, that's a glorious phrase. Jesus himself, not an angel, not Michael the archangel, not some other apostle, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He pursued his broken people. He became a companion on their way. He drew near and went with them. And the idea of went means he journeyed with them. He came alongside and say, I'm going to follow you guys all the way to Emmaus. He was on this journey with them. our Savior as he comes to deal with their disappointment and unbelief. Notice, as they are in this state of unbelief, he doesn't immediately pounce upon them and say, "Oh, you foolish people, you should have believed all my promises." That's not how our Savior deals with us. He comes alongside them himself and begins to walk with them and begins to ask questions and begins to speak to them. This is a tremendous lesson to us. When the Lord comes to you in your discouragement, the Lord's not going to necessarily come immediately with a firm hand of rebuke, but he's going to come alongside you. And he's going to be your companion along your way. He comes to where they are and accompanies them on their journey back to Emmaus. What a beautiful picture to us this scene is. We find here Christ drawing nigh and traveling with his discouraged people. And I imagine in a crowd this large is some very discouraged people here tonight. And I want to encourage you from the Word of God that Jesus Christ, just as he drew nigh to them, he will draw nigh to you tonight. In the midst of your discouragement and disappointment, whatever it is you're broken about, he wants to himself draw nigh to you. And you're in a very good place tonight because he said, as we prayed earlier, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. He is here tonight in this place. And he wants to draw nigh right where you are this moment and come alongside you in the midst of your discouragement. Not only did he become a companion on their way, but he became a listener to their grief. Look with me in verses 17 through 24. We won't read all these verses. We already did. But look with me at verse 17. I want you to see how the Lord deals with their problems by asking questions. Verse 17, he said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one with another as ye walk and are sad?" Now this was quite an astounding question to these disciples. Notice what they say in verse 18, "And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" In other words, where have you been? Do you not know that there was a person who claimed to be the Messiah and was crucified and died? Where have you been? And then Jesus says in verse 19, "What things?" And they begin to recount unto him. And they pour out and lament to him their shattered hope of what they expected. Jesus listened to their disappointments. And how patient the Savior was to hear these words, knowing that he was preparing to soon cause the Son of Righteousness to shine through the clouds of their disappointment in only a matter of moments. And you and I do well to remember that our Lord is a very good listener, and he delights to travel with his discouraged people. So I ask you, what things is it tonight that have you burdened? You might have spoken to many people about your burdens, and you feel as you call them again and again, you feel they're tired of hearing about your burdens. And we're sinners, and that can happen. But can I point you to one tonight that never tires? He never grows tired of you bringing your burdens to him. You can come day after day, moment after moment, second after second with your burden, and he never tires of hearing of your cry. He wants to hear your voice. He wants you to come to him and pour your heart out before him. Oh, others, they might get tired of hearing about your problems, but Jesus never does. He is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And you can come to him at any moment and pour out your heart before him. And when is the last time you poured out your heart before him? That you just said, "Lord, this is my situation. It is messy. It is a problem. I'm discouraged. I'm downhearted. Lord, here I am. Lord, I ask you to intervene." When's the last time you poured out your heart to God with tears, saying, Lord, I don't know what to say other than, Lord, you have to intervene. He not only listened to their grief and was a companion on their way, but he became an expositor of the scriptures. Look with me in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? As mentioned, these disciples were in a terrible state of disappointment and unbelief. They didn't even recognize that it was the Lord standing in front of them. Their vision was blurred. So Christ at this point opens up his mouth, and he says something to shake them out of their disillusionment. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He gave them a dose of strong medicine to get them to where they needed to be in order to hear the instruction. You know how I love how Jesus dealt with their discouragement. I loved how he dealt with their disappointment. He didn't come with a lounge chair and have them sit somewhere and talk to them like a psychologist. Jesus Christ opened up the book and he expounded to them the things concerning himself. And this is where they found comfort, in the Word of God, as Jesus opened up the scroll and he expounded to them the things about himself. The Savior began to exposit the scriptures. And what a Bible study that had to be. Some have said that this was the greatest sermon that was never recorded. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there when Jesus, to two ordinary men, not Peter, not James, not John, not Paul the apostle, but two people. One of them, we don't even know who it was. But they received probably the greatest education that anyone has ever received as Jesus sat there by himself and expounded everything in the Old Testament concerning himself. He no doubt began all the way back in Genesis 3 and verse 15 about the promised seed that would crush the head of the serpent. And he marched all the way through the Old Testament, reaching the high point in Isaiah 53 about the great suffering Savior. And he no doubt answered questions to them regarding the kingdom of God, because this was a question upon their minds. And he no doubt dealt with the kingdom and his reign of righteousness. What this teaches us is this, is that we need the book of God to address disappointments and unbelief in our life. The Word of God is alive and is able to fix what ails us in our life. This book is the power of God. This book is quick and living. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Christ put these disciples' focus on the Son of God. He elevated himself. And we need Christ lifted up when we are disappointed. And this is what you need to learn. When you are disappointed and you are discouraged, what you need in your life is to see Christ. What you need more than anything is to see him high and lifted up before God Almighty, where the angels cry out, holy, holy, holy. You need an exalted view of Christ. When you are in the lowest pit of despair, this is what you need. Christ exalted. And it is while Christ was expounding the scriptures about himself that the disciples' hearts began to burn with great passion and zeal. And this is what we need today. And has this not been the case in your own life? And I pray it has been. That as you have heard the preaching of the Word of God from behind this pulpit, as the man magnifies and uplifts Christ, that there is a burning zeal that begins to develop within you, with a desire to know more of Christ, to speak more of Christ, and to love Christ. That song swells up in your heart, more love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. That becomes the desire of your soul. I want you to notice, fourthly, not only did he expound their scriptures, thirdly, but fourth, he became a guest in their house. In verse 28 through 30, after he expounded the scriptures, he's walking with them from Jerusalem all the way to Emmaus, 7-mile journey. And they now make it to Emmaus. And we read in verse 29 that they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening. The day is far spent." And he went in to tarry with them. Notice that word constrained in verse 29. The disciples wanted to hear more about the Messiah as seen in their scriptures. In verse 29, he uses the word constrain. And the word actually means to compel by using force. They were not going to let this man get away. This man had expounded to us the word, and we want this man to be with us. They were so taken up in his teaching that they persuaded him as strongly as they could. What a privilege these two from Emmaus had. These two from a remote village and in a place of obscurity are now housing the very Son of God. This is amazing. That Jesus came and dwelt underneath their housetop. He came, not only walked with them, but he came to their house. And as the Savior enters their home, he reclines at the table to eat a meal with them. And our Savior then took bread and blessed it and broke it. The presence of Christ came all the way from Jerusalem to these disciples' home. God was in their house. And you may live in a place of obscurity. And you might feel that no one really cares about me where I live at, but Jesus delights to come exactly where you are. Christ today can be present in the home of the disappointed. He does not leave you when you leave the church. When you leave this building, it's not as if Jesus just stays here and you are all by yourself the rest of the week. He said, "No, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He has imparted and implanted within you his Holy Spirit. And you can never, ever be in a God-forsaken place because God is always with you. There's no such thing for the child of God as a God-forsaken place. He is with you always, no matter where you are. If you were to go to the remotest part of the sea, lo, I am with thee. He is with you always and everywhere. Our Lord is with his people in the privacy of their homes. When you leave this place and you go to your house tonight, you don't have to be here to pray. You can be at your home and you can kneel down on your knees before God and pour out your heart before him. And he will hear you there just as much as he will hear you here. It is there that you can cry out to him in your disappointment. The last thing I want you to notice, as he became a companion on their way, he became a listener to their griefs. He became the expositor of their scriptures. He became a guest in their house. But last of all, he became the fire of their hearts. In verse 31 and 32. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us?" Well, he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. It was after blessing the bread and breaking it and passing it to them that we read that their eyes are open and they knew, they recognized him. Earlier on, the Bible said in the same passage that they didn't recognize him. But as he broke the bread and he distributed the bread, they recognized him. The question should be asked, how did they recognize him? How did they know it was him? Some commentators differ on how they recognized him. But if you read verse 30, it says that he took bread and blessed it and broke it. And then notice this, he gave to them the bread. And when he gave the bread to them and they removed it from his hands, what do you think they saw? They saw the prints in his hands. You know what they said? I can imagine that emotion swelled up within them as they saw the nails in the hands. And they said, "It's him. He's alive. He is alive. Hallelujah, Christ is alive. And as soon as they recognized that, the Bible said he vanished out of their sight. Their eyes that were blinded by doubt and disappointment now see. Just as soon as they recognized him, he vanished out of their sight. Or you could word it this way, he became unseen by them. And as soon as this happened, they said, did not our heart burn within us? Well, he talked with us by the way, while he opened to us the scriptures, verse 32. These were disciples with holy heartburn. The light of their hearts was ready to go out by means of disappointment, by means of discouragement, by means of disillusionment. But now the fire had been rekindled upon the altar of their hearts. They learned that all their disappointment and discouragement and unbelief causes the fire of God to go out in the heart. Isn't there something we have learned in our own life? How many times doubts, unbelief have arisen in our hearts, and it extinguishes the fire of God in our own lives. But when they heard the preaching of Christ, and when they had seen that he was everywhere to be traced in the Old Testament, and they saw the prince in his hands, their hearts became a bonfire of affection for God. A glimpse of Christ in his work upon the cross revives the disappointed and discouraged. Dear souls, if you are troubled, I encourage you, get to the Word. Get to Christ. When you are so low down that you can't even see the bottom, I encourage you to get to Christ. Look to him. You don't need to call this person or that person. You need to call on Christ. You need to get in the book. And you need to get a vision of Christ to see him as he is, the crucified Son of God. And my friend, the more and more you see of Christ, the more and more discouragement, disappointments began to fade away. Because you see the one who matters. Paul said of Christ, when he shall appear. Talks about when he appears. Not only when he appears, but he speaks about Christ being his life. I wonder if he's that to you tonight. Is Christ your life? Is he everything to you? Is he the desire of your heart? They learned him to be, these two disciples. And is this that will keep the fire of God burning in your heart? These two disciples, with their hearts now aflame, returned back to the place they abandoned in disappointment. In verse 33, the Bible says that after their hearts burned within them, after they had seen the risen Christ and they saw the prints in his nails and they knew it was him, the Bible says in verse 33 that they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him. Now we know that whenever they traveled from Jerusalem to Emmaus, that there was three with them. But as they traveled back from Emmaus to Jerusalem, it appears that there's only two. I submit to you that there was not two, there was three. Christ was just as much with them on the way to Emmaus, on the way to Jerusalem as he was on the way to Emmaus. So well, how do you know that? He simply was unseen, but he was never absent. Jesus may be unseen to you, but know that he never is absent. He is the omnipresent Christ. And you cannot escape his presence. The presence of Christ was in their heart. It was more than just two going back. They had the joy of the Lord in their heart. And Christ was with them. So they went back to Jerusalem. And as they arrive and discuss what happened, our Lord then arise visibly to the company there gathered. And Christ goes all the way on this long journey to Emmaus, it appears, after these two discouraged travelers, so that they will be at this glorious meeting when he will visibly appear before this vast number. We read there in verse 36 that Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. The one that had vanished before them, they now see standing before them. Not just the presence of God in their hearts, but now they see Him right before Him. God brought further peace to the hearts of the two discouraged and disappointed disciples. So I ask you tonight, are you weighed down by disappointments and discouragements? What is it that you come here tonight and it's just this burden that's pressing upon you and it feels heavier than you can bear? It feels like you can't even go another day because the burden is so great. Is there one that cares for your soul? Oh, yes, there is. He'll be the one that will be a companion on your way. He'll come right where you are. He's the one that wants to listen to all the problems that you're going through. He wants to open up the Word and show you Himself. He wants to come right to where you are in your home and minister to you there. He wants to be exactly where you are, and He wants to be the one that creates the burning zeal in your heart. Jesus delights to come to the weary pilgrims and to comfort them. And you can leave this place with the fire burning again within your soul. You might be very discouraged, but you don't have to leave here that way. You can look at Christ and you can leave here with great zeal and encouragement in your soul for Christ. Christ alone is the one who rekindles the fire in the hearts of men. Just one glimpse of Christ will cause the heart to glow again. And that's what you need, just one glimpse of the dear Redeemer. These two found the real hope on the road of disappointment. And you can today as well. Go to Christ. He is a very present help in time of need. Fly to Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the truths of Holy Scripture. God, we pray that You would allow these sayings to sink down into our ears, down into our hearts, that would find a very firm lodging place. God, Your Word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God, take Your Word and deal with the hearts of Thy people tonight. God, I pray for those that are deeply discouraged and troubled in their heart and mind, that God, that they would find encouragement tonight from the person of Christ. God, we pray that You would be with us until we meet again. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.